the Lady Fear Nothing to wife. Now of my Lady Fear Nothing did this Mr. Self-Conceit beget this gentleman, Mr. Carnal Security. Wherefore, there being then in man's soul those strange kinds of mixtures, it was hard for them, in some cases, to find out who were natives, who were not. For Mr. Carnal Security sprang from my Lord Wilby Wills, my mother's side, though he had for his father a Diabolonian by nature. Well, this Carnal Security took much after his father and mother. He was self-conceited. He feared nothing. He was also a very busy man. Nothing of news, nothing of doctrine, nothing of alteration, or talk of alteration, could at any time be on foot in Mansoul. But be sure, Mr. Carnal Security would be at the head or tail of it. But to be sure, he would decline these that he deemed the weakest, and stood always with them, in his way of standing, that he supposed was the strongest side. Now when Shaddai the Mighty and Emmanuel his son made war upon Mansoul, to take it, this Mr. Carnal Security was then in town, and was a great doer among the people, encouraging them in their rebellion, putting them upon hardening themselves in their resisting the king's forces. But when he saw that the town of Mansoul was taken, and converted to the use of the glorious Prince Emmanuel, and when he also saw what was become of Diabolus, and how he was unroosted, and made to quit the castle in the greatest contempt and scorn, and that the town of Mansoul was well lined with captains, engines of war, and men, and also provision, what doth he but slyly wheel about also? And as he had served Diabolus against the good prince, so he feigned that he would serve the prince against his foes. And having got some little smattering of Emmanuel's things by the end, being bold, he ventured himself into the company of the townsmen, and attempts also to chat among them. Now he knew that the power and strength of the town of Mansoul was great, and that it could not but be pleasing to the people, if he cried up their might and their glory. Wherefore he beginneth his tale with the power and strength of Mansoul, and affirmed that it was impregnable. Now magnifying their captains, and their slings, and their rams, then crying up their fortifications and strongholds, and lastly, the assurances that they had from their prince, that Mansoul should be happy forever. But when he saw that some of the men of the town were tickled and taken with his discourse, he makes it his business, and, walking from street to street, house to house, and man to man, he at last brought Mansoul to dance after his pipe, and to grow almost as carnally secure as himself. So from talking they went to feasting, and from feasting to sporting, and to some other matters. Now Emmanuel was yet in the town of Mansoul, and he wisely observed their doings. My Lord Mayor, my Lord Wilby Will, and Mr. Recorder were also all taken with the words of this tattling, Diabolonian gentleman, forgetting that their prince had given them warning before to take heed that they were not beguiled with any Diabolonian slight. He had further told them that the security of the now flourishing town of Mansoul did not so much lie in her present fortifications and force, as in her so using of what she had, as might oblige her Emmanuel to abide within her castle. For the right doctrine of Emmanuel was that the town of Mansoul should take heed that they forget not his father's love and his, also, that they should so demean themselves as to continue to keep themselves therein. Now this was not the way to do it, namely to fall in love with one of the Diabolonians, and with such an one, too, as Mr. Carnal Security was, and to be led up and down by the nose by him. They should have heard their prince, feared their prince, loved their prince, and have stoned this naughty pack to death, and took care to have walked in the ways of their prince's prescribing. For then should their peace have been as a river, when their righteousness had been like the waves of the sea. Now when Emmanuel perceived that through the policy of Mr. Carnal Security, the hearts of the men of Mansoul were chilled and abated in their practical love to him, first he bemoans them, and condoles their state with the secretary, saying, Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and that man's soul had walked in my ways. I would have fed them with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I have sustained them. This done, he said in his heart, I will return to the court and go to my place, till man's soul shall consider and acknowledge their offense. And he did so, and the cause and manner of his going away from them was that man's soul declined him, as is manifest in these particulars. 1. They left off their former way of visiting him. They came not to his royal palace as afore. 2. They did not regard nor yet take notice that he came or came not to visit them. 3. The love feast that had wont to be between their prince and them, though he made them still and called them to them, yet they neglected to come to them or to be delighted with them. 4. They waited not for his counsels, but began to be headstrong and confident in themselves, concluding that now they were strong and invincible, and that man's soul was secure and beyond all reach of the foe, and that her state must needs be unalterable forever. Now, as was said, Emmanuel, perceiving that by the craft of Mr. Carnal's security, the town of Mansoul was taken off from their dependence upon him, and upon his father by him, and set upon what by them was bestowed upon it. He first, as I said, bemoaned their state. Then he used means to make them understand that the way that they went on in was dangerous. For he sent my Lord High Secretary to them, to forbid them such ways. But twice when he came to them, he found them at dinner in Mr. Carnal's security's parlor, and perceiving also that they were not willing to reason about matters concerning their good, he took grief and went his way, the which, when he had told to the Prince Emmanuel, he took offense and was grieved also, and so made provision to return to his father's court. Now the methods of his withdrawing, as I was saying before, were thus. 1. Even while he was yet with them in Mansoul, he kept himself close and more retired than formerly. 2. His speech was not now, if he came in their company, so pleasant and familiar as formerly. 3. Nor did he, as in times past, send to Mansoul, from his table, those dainty bits which he was wont to do. 4. Nor when they came to visit him, as now and then they would he be so easily spoken with as they found him to be in times past. They might now knock once, yea twice, but he would seem not at all to regard them, whereas formerly at the sound of their feet he would up and run and meet them halfway, and take them too and lay them in his bosom. But thus Emmanuel carried it now, and by this his carriage he sought to make them bethink themselves and return to him. But alas, they did not consider. They did not know his ways. They regarded not. They were not touched with these, nor with the true remembrance of former favors. Wherefore, what does he but in private manner withdraw himself, first from his palace, then to the gate of the town, and so away from Mansoul he goes, till they should acknowledge their offense, and more earnestly seek his face. Mr. God's peace also laid down his commission, and would for the present act no longer in the town of Mansoul. Thus they walked contrary to him, and he again, by way of retaliation, walked contrary to them. But alas, by this time they were so hardened in their way, and had so drunk in the doctrine of Mr. Carnal's security, that the departing of their prince touched them not, nor was he remembered by them when gone, and so, of consequence, his absence not consoled by them. Now there was a day wherein this old gentleman, Mr. Carnal's security, did again make a feast for the town of Mansoul. And there was at that time in the town one Mr. Godly Fear, one now but little set by, though formerly one of great respect. This man, old Carnal Security, had a mind, if possible, to gull and debauch and abuse, as he did the rest, and therefore he now bids him to the feast with his neighbors. So the day being come, they prepared, and he goes and appears with the rest of the guests. And being all set at table, they did eat and drink, and were merry, even all but this one man. For Mr. Godly Fear sat like a stranger, and did neither eat nor was merry. The which, when Mr. Cardinal's security perceived, he presently addressed himself in a speech thus to him. Mr. Godly Fear, are you not well? You seem to be ill of body or mind or both. I have a cordial of Mr. Forget-Good's making, the which, sir, if you will take a dram of, I hope it can make you bonny and blithe, and so make you more fit for us, feasting companions. Unto whom the good old gentleman discreetly replied, Sir, I thank you for all things courteous and civil, but for your cordial I have no list thereto. But a word to the natives of Mansoul. You, the elders and chief of Mansoul, to me it is strange to see you so jocund and merry, when the town of Mansoul is in such woeful case. Then said Mr. Cardinal Security, You want sleep, good sir, I doubt. If you please, lie down and take a nap, and we meanwhile will be merry. Then said the good man as follows, Sir, if you were not destitute of an honest heart, you could not do as you have done and do. Then said Mr. Cardinal Security, Why? Godly, Nay, pray interrupt me not. It is true the town of Mansoul was strong and with a proviso impregnable, but you, the townsmen, have weakened it, and it now lies obnoxious to its foes. Nor is it a time to flatter or be silent. It is you, Mr. Cardinal Security, that have wildly stripped Mansoul and driven her glory from her. You have pulled down her towers. You have broken down her gates. You have spoiled her locks and bars. And now to explain myself from that time that my lords of Mansoul and you, sir, grew so great. From that time the strength of Mansoul has been offended, and now it is arisen and is gone. If any shall question the truth of my words, I will answer him by this and such like questions. Where is the Prince Emmanuel? When did a man or woman in Mansoul see him? When did you hear from him or taste any of his dainty bits? You are now a-feasting with this Diabolonian monster, but he is not your prince. I say, therefore, though enemies from without, had you taken heed, could not have made a prey of you. Yet since you have sinned against your prince, your enemies within have been too hard for you. Then said Mr. Cardinal Security, Fie, fie, Mr. Godly Fear, fie, will you never shake off your timorousness? Are you afraid of being sparrow-blasted? Who hath hurt you? Behold, I am on your side. Only yon are for doubting, and I am for being confident. Besides, is this a time to be sad in? A feast is made for mirth. Why, then, do you now, to your shame and our trouble, break out into such passionate, melancholy language, when you should eat and drink and be merry? Then said Mr. Godly Fear again, I may well be sad, for Emmanuel is gone from Mansoul. I say again, he is gone, and you, sir, are the man that has driven him away. Yea, he is gone without so much as acquainting the nobles of Mansoul with his going. And if that is not a sign of his anger, I am not acquainted with the methods of godliness. And now, my lords and gentlemen, for my speech is still to you. Your gradual declining from him did provoke him gradually to depart from you, the which he did for some time. If perhaps you would have been made sensible thereby, and have been renewed by humbling yourselves. But when he saw that none would regard nor lay these fearful beginnings of his anger and judgment to heart, he went away from this place, and this I saw with mine eye. Wherefore now, while you boast, your strength is gone. You are like the man that has lost his locks, that before did wave about his shoulders. You may, with this lord of your feast, shake yourselves, and conclude to do as at other times. But since without him you can do nothing, and he is departed from you, turn your feast into a sigh, and your mirth into lamentation. Then the subordinate preacher, old Mr. Conscience by name, he that of old was recorder of Mansoul, being startled at what was said, began to second it thus. Indeed, my brethren, quoth he, I fear that Mr. Godly Fear tells us true. I, for my part, have not seen my prince a long season. I cannot remember the day for my part, nor can I answer Mr. Godly Fear's question. I doubt, I am afraid, that all is not with Mansoul. Godly, Nay, I know that you shall not find him in Mansoul, for he is departed and gone. Yea, and gone for the faults of the elders, and for that they rewarded his grace with insufferable kindness. Then did the subordinate preacher look as if he would fall down dead at the table. Also all there present, except the man of the house, began to look pale and wan. But having a little recovered themselves and jointly agreeing to believe Mr. Godly Fear and his sayings, they began to consult what was best to be done. Now Mr. Carnal Security was gone into his withdrawing room, for he liked not such dumpish doings, both to the man of the house for drawing them into evil, and also to recover Emmanuel's love. And with that saying of their prince came very hot into their minds, which he had bidden them do to such as were false prophets that should arise to delude the town of Mansoul. So they took Mr. Carnal Security, concluding that he must be he, and burned his house upon him with fire, for he also was a Diabolonian by nature. So when this was past and over, they bespeed themselves to look for Emmanuel their prince, and they sought him, but they found him not. Then were they more confirmed in the truth of Mr. Godly Fear's sayings, and began also severely to reflect upon themselves for their so vile and ungodly doings, for they concluded now that it was through them that their prince had left them. Then they agreed and went to my Lord Secretary, him whom before they refused to hear, him whom they had grieved with their doings, to know of him, for he was a seer, and could tell where Emmanuel was, and how they might direct a petition to him. But the Lord Secretary would not admit them to a conference about this matter, nor would admit them to his royal place of abode, nor come out to them to show them his face or intelligence. And now was it a day gloomy and dark, a day of clouds and of thick darkness with Mansoul. Now they saw that they had been foolish and began to perceive what the company and prattle of Mr. Carnal Security had done, and what desperate damage his swaggering words had brought poor Mansoul into. But what further it was likely to cost them they were ignorant of. Now Mr. Godly Fear began again to be in repute with the men of the town. Yea, they were ready to look upon him as a prophet. Chapter 11. Well, when the Sabbath day was come, they went to hear their subordinate preacher. But, oh, how he did thunder and lighten this day! His text was that in the prophet Jonah. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But there was then such power and authority in that sermon, and such a dejection seen in the countenances of the people that day, that the like hath seldom been heard or seen. The people, when sermon was done, were scarce able to go to their homes, or to betake themselves to their employs the week after. They were so sermon-smitten, and also so sermon-sick, by being smitten, that they knew not what to do. He did not only show to Mansoul their sin, but did tremble before them, under the sense of his own, still crying out of himself as he preached to them, "Unhappy man that I am, that I should do so wicked a thing, that I, a preacher, whom the prince did set up to teach to Mansoul his law, should myself live senseless and sottishly here, and be one of the first found in transgression. This transgression also fell within my precincts. I should have cried out against the wickedness, but I let Mansoul lie wallowing in it, until it had driven Emmanuel from its borders. With these things he also charged all the lords and gentry of Mansoul, to them almost distracting of them. About this time also there was a great sickness in the town of Mansoul, and most of the inhabitants were greatly afflicted. Yea, the captains also and the men of war were brought thereby to a languishing condition, and that for a long time together, so that in case of an invasion nothing could to purpose now have been done, either by the townsmen or field officers.